Welcome to another episode of the Ruthless Obsession podcast. I am one half of your hosting team and debatable at impersonating John Cena, Diana Jebbia, and I am joined by...
And I'm Shane Kanto, trying to hold it together.
You know what? Listen, R-Truth followed me on Instagram, so I have to do him well by impersonating his childhood hero, John Cena.
His childhood hero, John Cena.
Oh my God, what do you think? I've been practicing my voice.
That was perfect. No
notes.
Thank
you so much. When we're not impersonating John Cena, however, we are talking wrestling, which we're so excited to do with you today because, you know, WrestleMania is around the corner and boy, are things heating up in WWE. So I want to start things off by talking about last night's episode of SmackDown. So crazy. The thing that caught my eyes and ears the most was the match, which I don't know if it's been made official yet, but like, who cares? Rey Mysterio said it's going to happen. Between Rey and now Dragon Lee from LWO and Dominic and Santos Escobar. Now, obviously, I was so excited because any Rey Dominic action we get, I'm a huge fan of. I love Rey Mysterio. I love Rey Mysterio, obviously. I love Dominic Mysterio even more though because he's just so funny. Like, he comes out and he's so okay with taking the booze from everyone, and he does it in stride that it's like it's okay to make fun of him because he's in on the joke, and I just appreciate that so much. He's probably the top heel the company has right now because of that. But the thing that caught my eye even more was that Rey was kind of talking up. It was like a mysterious member of the LWO, like, and the whole audience was chanting Carlito. The camera pans on him, and it's kind of like a Jimmy Uso moment when Roman was like the heir to the bloodline, the heir to the tribal chief. And Jimmy thought it was going to be him. Carlito thought it was going to be him. And out of nowhere comes Dragon Lee in an LWO t-shirt, which I was like, hold up. That's in a way sort of how this whole thing started with Santos turning. So is Carlito going to turn as well? I don't know, but I think there's little seeds they might be planting on us. What do you think?
I think Rey Mysterio needs to be more conscious of the way that he is treating his proteges and friends. He straight up like Buzz Lightyear to Woodying the situation every time. It's just like, I don't want to play with you anymore.
You're so right.
And it's just like, how many times is he going to do this before he realizes being a dick, to be honest? And so, yeah, it's that was awkward because, yeah, the crowd was chanting Carlito. They pinned to Carlito and he was like excited about it.
And
Dragon Lee comes out and it's just like, and it's like, yeah, Carlito's definitely turning on him. To be frank, Carlito hasn't done really much anything since he came back. And who wanted Carlito to come back as a face anyway? Because, like, who even remembers Carlito fondly as a face? He literally, like, spits apples in people's faces and acts like he's cool. Cooler than everybody else. I'm like, that just screams heel anyway. Now, will he join Santos? Would that be interesting? Or does like it splinter off? Can we have three stables of Latino people in
it's gonna be
WWE?
so confusing because then, you know, they've been hinting at Andrade too on Raw teaming up with Dom. So then I'm like, but then Rey's gonna be really outnumbered unless he takes the other two fault, Joaquin and oh my God, I don't remember his name, which is sad because they don't show him that much from LWO.
Well, to be fair, Diane, I don't think that's your fault. I think that's more WWE's fault for not doing a very good job of highlighting the other members. And like, you have Selena Vega, and I love her. And she's so talented, and she has so much more personality than she's like gets to show on TV. And it's just like, focus on the members you have already. Now it's like adding more in. Carlito's definitely going to get involved. I wish they got Dom involved sooner. Because, like, this kind of feels out of left field, like 2 weeks before WrestleMania, be like, Dom doesn't have anything to do. Let's screw over his dad again. And just like, it would have been nice if they had like, well, that's a tricky thing. Maybe they did have stuff planned. Ray was out, injured. Like maybe they would have had a moment in the Rumble or something like that. You can't really do much when you're injured and you can't be on television. But this kind of all feels like this feud has been building up for so long, but then there's elements that feel so last minute thrown in. I'm just like, this could have been handled better, but am I excited for this tag match? Yeah, because it's going to be crazy. So I'm excited about that. Carlito's definitely turning. Like,
Yeah,
I'm
and you know
fully
what?
down.
You made some good points about how they kind of threw this storyline at us last minute. And I know we're going to get into this a little bit later on, but I feel that way about multiple things they're doing on WrestleMania. Like, you know, as great as the Cody Roman Rock story is, I feel like it did kind of become the main focus, which as it should, but in as a consequence, other things kind of got pushed to the wayside.
It was interesting because it made SmackDown feel less important last night because there wasn't, like, I know Paul Heyman showed up and chatted a little bit in the back with Jimmy and Solo said things. But, like, everything else was like B plot matches. Like, the whole show was about the mid to lower card of WrestleMania, and you're just kind of like, your biggest angle was Logan Paul hiding under the ring and getting involved in a tag match. That shouldn't be happening. Why are Kevin Owens and Randy Orton BFFs right now? It makes no sense. But SmackDown just kind of felt a little tepid last night. And the LWO stuff, I think they're trying to like spice it up last minute because do we really want to see Rey versus Santos again? Because,
No.
like, I don't even know how many times they've actually wrestled. It feels like they've wrestled 50 times, but it's just because this feud's been going on for forever. So,
Yeah. It's like
no.
you're right. We don't want to see Rey versus Santos, but when you throw Dominic in the mix, I'm like, yep, let's see it. I'm sold. Because I cannot wait to see his entrance. Because last year's WrestleMania entrance with Dom in the cop car was like, yes, that was my favorite entrance probably ever. So I want to see how they're going to one up that this year because he's not really prison Dom anymore. Like, are they going to get Rhea involved? Like, what's going to happen?
I can guarantee you Rhea's not going to be anywhere near that match. And it's just going to reinforce the fact that, like, Dom kind of puts in more of the effort into this relationship than Rhea does because, like, where's her, is she to, like, support him and his endeavors and stuff like that? That's a, I think that, like, kind of goes into what you want to talk about in terms of the Judgment Day and where that story's going.
Like I've come to terms with the fact that the Judgment Day is like probably going to be no more after Mania, which, you know, as much as it does upset me because they are were my favorite thing about WWE for probably the past year, I think I'm ready for them to move on. I was talking with my friend Alyssa this morning and I said that I think they really peaked before they got JD involved. I think once Dom had the NXT North American title, I thought they were on their high there. And then right after Rhea won world champion, after that, it kind of like got, it was the same thing every week, you know, with they would fight and then Sammy and Cody and Kevin would come out and it would be the same freaking thing every week. That was like late summer, early fall. Then it started getting repetitive. We have the briefcase that is Damian going to cash in? Who knows? He kind of hinted at it this week. But the main theme around them for the past couple weeks now has been communication breakdown, which Rhea and Dom have been focusing on. But on last night's episode of SmackDown, there were some talk of them doing things as individuals. And you know, as much as I am sad but ready to see them move on, I'm kind of nervous to see what they do as individuals because obviously Rhea will have the strongest character line. Dominic, I would argue, would have the second strongest one now with this back and forth with Santos and then Andrade too. But you know, I am a Finn Balor girly. Where does this leave Finn? And I think Finn's strongest work is personality-wise, is his heel work. I actually was talking to one of my neighbors earlier last week, or this week, whatever the fuck week it was, and he was saying that he made a good point that like Finn's moves in the rings are almost too good to be a heel, just because he's so good and you know like the high flyer stuff, and you can't help but clap and marvel at it. And there was that time, I think it was last month, when everyone ended up cheering for Priest and Finn. So, but I just don't want to see him as a face. Like I know he had a major run as one, and he was good at that, but I just find his character work to be so much stronger as a heel. And I know he has mentioned on podcasts that he is more comfortable as a heel. And I hope he kind of doesn't get pushed down the card, because he, you know, they fumbled when they didn't give him the world championship, the world heavyweight championship. I'm sorry. I think they fumbled big time. They could have had Damian cash in on him and lose, and I think we would have had a stronger storyline that way. But I don't know. I just think that that belt deserved to be around his waist.
I feel like they, the lack of move by Priest at this point with that briefcase has been a really big glaring problem. And I don't know if they just wanted to, like, they specifically wanted Seth Rollins to have the title for a long time because it was a brand new title. They wanted to establish him as a workhorse champion. Like, could have lost it to Finn. Priest probably should have cashed in at this point. And who's he going to cash in on, Drew? Is this their plan, is to turn Priest face by cashing in on Drew McIntyre? But then are you going to cut Drew McIntyre's reign short? And that's the problem here. They kind of fumbled most of the Judgment Day in terms of where they are as characters. And like, now it looks like Dom's just gonna get inserted into a different stable. And you know, he has Andrade and Santos floating around there. It's like, how's y'all gonna fit into this? Rhea's gonna be fine. Rhea's gonna be excellent. She doesn't need the Judgment Day. They probably need her more than she needs them. And you know, Janie McDonough is just gonna, you know, flop out into mid-cardom or lower cardom and just, you know, have matches with like Ricochet and stuff like that. And I do worry about Finn Balor, because where is he going to fit in? I feel like he's going to be much more in like US Intercontinental title area than he's going to be getting back into world title hunt anytime soon, because there's just too many people floating around there for that at this point. Because you know, at some point, Gunther is going to be bumped up the card to go for a world title when he finally drops the Intercontinental Championship. I would love to see if like Sammy winds up being the one who beats Gunther. I would love to see like Finn feud with Sammy or something like that. That could be a good feud for him to come out of WrestleMania. But at this point, I think the Judgment Day ran their course, and they were just trying to like keep them relevant by having all these shenanigans with R-Truth for a while recently. And that kind of, I love R-Truth, but like that specifically started getting old with like, because it was the same thing, like you said, about their lead up to Survivor Series. It's this, how many more times can they just beat down Truth week to week?
I was talking with my friend Alyssa about that, because she was like, that whole thing with Truth was good. And I'm like, it was both a peak and a pit, because it was funny. It was hysterical. It was entertaining, but it also knocked down the credibility of the Judgment Day, because they're not a comedy act. And I was just looking up, because I'm curious now. Balor's contract is up after WrestleMania, but not immediately after WrestleMania, like a few months with after a few months, according to Fightful. I'm wondering if he'd fit in better at AEW and we get Fergal Devitt back, because they do so much with New Japan.
I'm not going to say that he's going to be treated any worse in terms of like placement on the card, but like it's just another person that you're going to be throwing into AEW's roster. And he's very similar to Jay White, and look what they did to him. So,
That's a
like,
good point.
I don't want to be like, go to TNA, because like if this was a month and a half ago, I'd been like, it's been an interesting decision, and then they just shot themselves in the foot after they re after they got rebirth and everything. They're just like, it would be a shame if somebody ruined it, us. Like, but they think the Judgment Day is done after WrestleMania. They're gonna have to turn Priest face. I think he has that in him. I think he could get the crowd behind him. Rhea's gonna permanently be in the title picture at the top of the card for the women's division because she's that good. So, and like, this might be a nice segue into one of the things I wanted to talk about, but he sure can post a picture or a video and get more attention than most of the wrestlers in WWE. Because yes, she can, and she does. I know, because she gets my attention all the time.
Well, like short aside for a second, Mariah May kind of tried to do the same thing on Rampage last night. Not as good.
Rhea Ripley is has created a thirst trap that encompasses all of pro wrestling social media. So like, basically anything that Rhea posts, she gets attention, and she's that over. So, and finally, they're actually focusing on her and Becky leading up to this feud instead. Like, Nia's out of the picture, Liv is out of the picture. So they finally got a confrontation with Rhea and Becky. And obviously, they have very different perspectives on what it's like to be a champion. Becky, when she was NXT champion, was defending left and right. Rhea's much more of like, I'm not going to wrestle on Raw. Like, you could come to see the premium live events. That's when you'll see Rhea Ripley in the ring and stuff like that. You know, Rhea could get away with that. She's on Roman status at this point, except at least she's around more, a lot more. And boy, was that so satisfying when Becky Lynch straight up decked Dom in the face. And I could watch that slow motion punch over and over. And Dom sold that and took that like a champ. That was beautiful. And that's why Dom's special. He could do stuff like that and sell it perfectly. I just love that segment. And then them walking out and Becky coming out of nowhere, leaping off the steps and hitting him again. Just that was just like the cherry on top. I'm glad that it finally got physical between the two of them, you know, with 2 weeks until WrestleMania.
Well, yeah,
So.
that brings it back to the point I made previously and what we were discussing with Ray and all that. It's like I think they kind of stalled, like maybe inadvertently, but it hurt them in the long run because I know more of that, maybe not oversaturated every week, but a little bit more of that and like some sort of like a side storyline, like something funny with Dominic and Becky, where there's like either a reoccurring joke, like with him getting punched or something, you know? I just think it would have added that much more flavor to WrestleMania and a little bit more hype around it. Not that there isn't enough already, but it wouldn't have hurt them.
I feel like we all knew what matches were going to be on this card. Like we all knew what feuds were going to be at WrestleMania this year. They made it pretty darn clear pretty early on. They just decided to like not have any kind of urgency with the vast majority of the middle and lower card feuds. And like, this should be a top of the this is a top of the card feud. It's just we've they had big moments early on, and then they decided to divert Becky's attention for like a month. And it's just like, what's this doing for the feud that's supposed to be happening at WrestleMania? Nothing. It's just muddying the waters that Becky happened to be feuding with three separate people at once. And, you know, now she, a lot of her showing up is like she's doing her book tour and stuff like that. And then also, that stuff about her talking about how they haven't even discussed a new contract or extension floating around. I'm just like, that kind of stuff doesn't seem great to be floating out right before WrestleMania. And it's like, it's going to be a hot, like red hot fight at WrestleMania between the two of them. And they could steal the show just like Charlotte and Rhea did last year. And I hope they do. But to be honest, this is the biggest WrestleMania of all time, as they keep telling us, and it's all because of the Bloodline feud. And that's what they've staked this whole entire WrestleMania on. And everything else has just been like, yeah, we're having these feuds. And you're gonna watch the matches and stuff like that. It's just, when you're dedicating. So WWE, what has 5 hours of content on their main roster? And they're dedicating an almost an hour of the, like 20% of it every week to just the Bloodline. Of course, everybody's just going to be paying attention to the Bloodline feud when you spend all your time focusing on it. I'm just glad they got to have this moment. I really liked it. They sold it well. And I'm very excited about this match, but I wouldn't blame casual fans to be very excited about this match, seeing as they haven't really focused on it for a while.
I think, like you said, the main focus is going to be the Bloodline. It's almost like the inclusion of The Rock has been both helpful and a detriment to WrestleMania, helpful for those casual fans, but a detriment in the way, because as much as we appreciate, the segment that happened on Raw last week between The Rock and Cody, which I know you wanted to get into, and just some other little things like throwbacks here and there. It took away from other plot lines that we were invested in because we watch every week.
Absolutely, and what a good job we're doing as segues here. So getting
Thanks. Not like it's my job or anything.
so obviously Cody had his whole promo at the beginning, and The Rock coming out and whispering to him he's gonna make him bleed, and that whole thing, and you're just like, I can't just end there, and boy did The Rock beat the holy hell out of Cody Rhodes to end that show. Which they needed to do something like this at some point because Roman never gets his hands dirty. And I just like, I don't need to see Solo and Jimmy try to beat up people anymore. So this was at least fresh to see, like, oh my God, The Rock, who legitimately is a m mountain of a man. Like, just from a physical standpoint, he is by far the most physically intimidating person in this feud. The dude's like 6'4", 285 pounds of nothing but literal muscle. And him beating down Cody really sold it. But what did the internet want to talk about most? Just so happened that there was a production van, a production truck right behind them. And a lot of speculation on the internet because it wasn't one of their normal ones. And it just so happened to have John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin on it. How insane would that be, John Cena and Stone Cold coming out for that tag match and trying to take out like Jimmy and Solo to even the odds in this feud? It's
I'm here
WrestleMania.
for it.
And that's a like. There's been tons of talk that they wanted both of them and The Undertaker at this show. So that would be a star-studded way of building up this feud even more. You literally have the biggest stars in the history of the company coming in all at the same exact time for WrestleMania 40. So
And it makes sense because John Cena lost to Solo. I don't remember what premium live event it was, but it was the one that was in Dubai because it
yeah,
came on at a ridiculous time.
the one where Solo hasn't won a freaking match since then. He's like
It was
0 and
insane.
35 since then.
So I think that would be cool to get John Cena involved. I have decided that I'm going to buy Stone Cold Steve Austin's beer. If anyone has tried it, hit me up because I heard one of them is a little too hoppy and I'm not a big hop girl, but I can take it. So let me know which one I should get. But no, I mean, it's always cool to see him. Obviously, I didn't watch a whole lot of wrestling as a kid, but Stone Cold was just such a staple of 90s culture that I grew up with him too, you know? So even going back and rewatching the stuff he was in, like, he's just such an icon and he's still out there killing it. I don't want to be like at his age, but you know, like in a way, at his age. Like, let's be real, everyone's getting older, ourselves included.
Hey, he got it in good shape to have that match against Kevin Owens. And
Yes.
what we're gonna see is Solo's getting attitude adjustment through that announcer table, and Jimmy is gonna eat a serious Stone Cold Stunner.
I hope,
And
though, like, even if they do it middle of the match, I hope we get his last breaking music because that is just iconic.
the link is gonna blow up.
I know.
All those people in Philly are gonna flip out.
Yeah.
I know he's the Texas rattlesnake, but if you're gonna pick anybody with a Philly attitude to come
Well,
out,
listen, yeah, and you know, Philly
so
sports
close.
fan, it's myself included. I'm a huge Flyers fan, even though I grew up in New York and then moved to Jersey. I was closer to Philly. It's just a long story. Anyway, Philly sports fans, we are a passionate bunch. And as much as there are bad things to say about us, there are great things to say about us too, because we are such a lively, interactive crowd, especially when it comes to wrestling. I think they had the 30th anniversary of Raw over at the Wells Fargo Center.
Oh,
And
and they're the
it,
ones who booed Roman and The Rock out of the arena when Roman
yeah.
won the Rumble
Yeah,
back in
so you know what?
2015.
Like, it's just we're a passionate bunch, Philly sports fans. And I think you make a great point. Like, Stone Cold kind of does embody that badassiness of the way that Philly has. Oh my God, I just had a thought. I hope Gritty comes out. Sorry. Our national treasure of a mascot, Gritty.
If Gritty doesn't show up at WrestleMania, that would be the biggest miss opportunity in
I
the
need
whole
Gritty in the
entire show.
ring. Oh my God, I need Gritty in the ring, and I need his little like belly button to squeak like it does. Oh my God, I love Gritty.
So, side note, I don't have anything to add about your questions about Stone Cold's beer because I
You
don't
don't
drink.
drink.
What? Stone Cold, what? I want to see The Rock eat a Stone Cold Stunner one last time. Oh my God, that would be glorious. So, like, generally, I'm not about overbooking matches to like ridiculous ways, but like that tag match just has that written all over it. That's going to be because Roman doesn't wrestle that often and he has to wrestle the next night. The Rock hasn't wrestled in how long? And Seth Rollins is coming off of an injury and has to wrestle the next night. Cody's carrying most of that match, and it's going to be a bunch of shenanigans. So that's exactly how this is going down. That ref's going to go out quick and stuff's going sideways. So it's going to be a complete shit show. But you know
I'm
what?
so sad I cannot be there. Like, I'll tell you off camera or off podcast, there was like talks of tickets and whatever, but because I live across the country, it's just like flights are $970 billion. I'm
My
like,
one of
it's
my
not worth
student
it.
workers, his girlfriend's family got them tickets, and he's gonna be there in a box.
Oh
And
my God.
I'm like, what for you? And if you're my student worker, you know exactly who I'm talking about. And if you listen to this, we'll chat later. But it's just. At this point, I hope that match turns into like this crazy thing like that because that's what it's going to be. Because we're not going to get a classic tag team wrestling match. None of them are
No.
tag team wrestlers. And most of them, like all three of them are wrestling again the next night, and two of them haven't wrestled much at all recently. So like it's going to go that way. Now, I know one side thing that I wanted to bring up because I do pay attention to NXT. Quick side note, love Fia and JC. I can't wait to see Fia kick the shit out of JC at Stand and Deliver. But also, JC's a Jersey girl and an Italian American, so we appreciate
Yeah.
you, JC.
Snap.
snaps. But Had to bring up the NXT tag title match with the Wolf Dogs versus the Alpha Academy because I want to pour one out for Tozawa, who literally
Oh,
just
man.
allowed himself to be a rag doll. One point, Otis had Bron Breakker up on his shoulders like an electric chair, and Tozawa did a crossbody at him, and Bron Breakker literally like leapt off of Otis's shoulders and power slammed Tozawa out of midair, and I'm like, this man is dead. And then Bron Breakker came up, like put the straps down and everything, and did like I was screaming up in the air. And then God, Tozawa is so tiny when you look at him next to Baron Corbin.
Yes.
Corbin just like Tozawa went for a Hurricanrana, and of course Corbin stopped it, and then power bombed him, flipped him up on his feet, and then he ate a spear. So bad. And I'm just like, poor Tozawa. Because they
You
just like.
know, Tozawa is like kind of how R-Truth allows him to be the self, the butt of jokes. Like
Yeah.
Tozawa does that physically,
Well,
which
and that's the
it's more
thing, because
painful.
both of them can really wrestle too.
Yes.
And like, Tozawa's been doing a good job of like, he put on some good matches with Ivar, beat him one of them. It's crazy. No,
Yeah.
this was so good watching these two tag teams go at it, because I can't believe I'm saying this. One of my favorite tag teams in WWE has Baron Corbin in it. In 2024. But I just love Bron Breakker. He's going to be a star when he
Yes.
fully comes up to the main roster. And that was just a fun match to watch. So if you have time to even just watch some clips of it, some of the big moments, it's just like poor Tozawa. But we
Yeah.
appreciate you, Tozawa, for your sacrifice of your body.
I hope he's putting some ice on
He's
him.
probably gonna have to wrap his whole entire body in ice because like dude got wrecked. And
He's
Otis ate
gonna
a
be like
double.
the
Otis.
fish on SpongeBob, like the scam artist fish when he's selling the chocolate, and he's like, my bones have made of glass and my skin is made out of paper, and he comes out all wrapped up with a little breathing tube on. That's gonna be Tozawa.
Yeah, 100%. Otis took a double power bomb through the announcer table. So like he even took like a big
Wow.
spot too, and I'm just like,
And that's a
and
big guy.
yeah, and you have Maxine off to the side. She was like dying on this. She looks so upset just watching the two of them get demolished.
Oh my
Oh,
God.
this had a couple of moments though. He did a double backdrop on the two of them, and
Wow.
it's like this is a large man. And of course he did the worm and the elbow drop on Baron Corbin. So Otis got his moments too. It was a good match. I enjoyed it. And then you know the last thing I wanted to bring up is the storm has finally arrived, Diana.
Yeah, it's about damn time. That's another thing, like with us throwing storylines at us last minute, which, I love Jade Cargill. I think that the frame of them with Jade and Bianca and Naomi, like it's Women's History Month or International Women's, whatever the frig it's called. I'm a woman. Like that is the embodiment of women's power. I am obsessed. But there's some part of me that is a little annoyed that we're throwing Jade into WrestleMania and it is only her second really full TV appearance, the first being the Rumble. She's made cameos here and there, but I don't know. Listen, it might have been a contract thing. It might have been like, if you get me, then I want a Mania match, which, like, good on her and her lawyers if that's what it was written as. But for me, I'm a little bummed as a storyline girly that she's being thrown into a storyline now 2 weeks before me, or no, a week before Mania. What am I getting? It's two shows before Mania.
Well, going back to some, well, if you all have been listening to us the past couple weeks, you know exactly how we feel about this because I keep bringing this specific feud up. We knew this was coming. Them slowly, like, well, we got to add a new person every week. And of course, it was leading up to Jade Cargill at this point. And SmackDown seems to be a land of, you have all the Asian women in one stable. You have all of the black women teaming up in one match against them. You have two whole stables of Latino performers going at it. It's a very interesting place to be at SmackDown right now. But that shot though, of the three of them pointing up at
Yeah.
the WrestleMania sign, I'm like, here's the thing. Jade Cargill's a star. I know they want her on WrestleMania. That's why she's at WrestleMania. They wanted to have her two first matches be big. It's the Royal Rumble, it's WrestleMania. This allows her to protect herself a little bit in a six-woman tag team match. She's going to go out there and literally throw and ragdoll around three performers that are way smaller than she is. Like, just
Yes.
watching her destroy them
Oh my
on
God, yes.
SmackDown. Which, first off, when she came out the first time, that entrance, the also, I want a dollar for every time they mention Aura, so I can retire. But and also every time Wade Barrett's jaw dropped, and he probably was salivating at the ringside because him talking with her coming out to the ring was just like, dude, bonk, horny
Yeah.
jail, calm down. But like, she has the it factor. And
Yes.
when she had those giant ass heels on too when she came out the
Yes.
first time, I'm like, how tall is this woman? And then she came out later. I'm like, my God, Kairi Sane is like
Gonna die.
this big next to Jade Cargill, and like Dakota eating that power bomb like that. I'm just like, this woman just came back from injury. My God. And then obviously Kairi took her finisher, and
Yeah.
I specifically tried to look out at the crowd to see the reaction to Jade doing her moves and stuff. I'm like, a lot of people in camera didn't seem to react in a big way, and I'm like, I wonder why. You're doing a lot of assumption that a ton of people also watch AEW,
Yes.
and they probably should have built her up a little bit more
I
before
agree.
like getting to this point. But like, WWE just automatically assumed they had a star who's ready to go right into the big matches right away. I think they overestimate their mainstream audience and like how many of them know who Jade Cargill is. But you know, she's gonna have big moments at WrestleMania. Her and Bianca just like throwing around the Kabuki Warriors, and
Yeah.
Dakota's gonna be. And I would not be shocked if this leads up to like Bianca and Jade winning the tag titles at some point, and then them blowing off a feud at some point. Because what do we want to see? We're probably getting Jade and Bianca at SummerSlam or something like that
Yeah.
at some point this
And
year.
I
But
think it's powerful too, because not only is it three women, but it's important for me to like check my privilege. These are three black women. And like we're not used to seeing black women in power like this until recent years. So like growing up, we were shoved like your standard blue-eyed blonde or like your thin there. Look at the Attitude Era. It was all these thin, like carbon copies of one another. So I'm sure there are many little girls on TV saying, look, there are three strong women who look like me. And, you know, even though I can't relate because I'm a white woman, like I can just feel happy that there are girls that are getting that opportunity to see people on TV in a position of power who look like them. And it's people to emulate. They're all three wonderful role models, you know. Both not both Bianca, both Naomi and Jade. Naomi's a stepmom, and Jade has her own, I think just one child. And Bianca is just like a smart, if you watched her Hulu show, she's a smart woman. They're all multi-talented, so I think you could not have three more wonderful, incredible women pointing at that WrestleMania sign. Like I was just, it was just a really, like as a woman myself, it was just an amazing feeling like going through me. So I can't imagine how it must feel for black women to see that.
well, I'm gonna read. I think this is a tweet from the Saturnian Siren. Knowing that young black girls and women around the world that watch WWE now has multiple black women wrestlers on the main roster of different shades, built, and personalities to look up to. And it was that shot of them pointing up to the WrestleMania sign. I think it's great. I think it's amazing. That still doesn't mean that the build would have been
I
better.
know. I know. I
So
wish it would have been even better if they had built it up, but it was just such a beautiful, beautiful moment.
well, yeah, this WrestleMania card's ridiculously diverse.
Yes.
And still doesn't mean that they couldn't have done a better job of building a lot of these matches. Well, like even thinking about the tag team, Samoan people are probably overrepresented in pro wrestling compared to most forms of media and stuff like that, because you have one very, 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 very famous and successful family that they're all part of. But like you have Roman Reigns and The Rock tag teaming in the main event of night one of WrestleMania. And like Cody's mixed race. And it's just that kind of experience. It's like this is pretty big deal. And this is very much not a Vince McMahon, because we could say his name here. Oh my God. I should have brought up that promo from Monday, but I don't want to make this episode even longer. Between CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, and Seth Rollins, because my God, were they straight up kicking each other in the nuts, like nonstop with the stuff they were saying. But I was like, we could say Vince McMahon's name. Drew McIntyre can't, and CM Punk knows that. But like this definitely does not feel like a WrestleMania you get with Vince. And I think that is a good thing.
It's a fabulous thing.
Yep. And they just could have done a better job with pulling up some of these matches. But no, that promo though was insane. They let the three of them come out there and just like light each other up. Drew's so great at
Oh my God, I know. I was texting my friend Alyssa's a big Drew girl. And I was just texting her. I was
I
like,
am
he's
also a big
killing
Drew girl.
it.
So
Big Drew girly over here.
my God. Stop looking up my kilt, you perv.
That was so funny. Oh my God, I was dying. And he's quick-witted. He's good with comebacks. You could tell he listens and thinks before he speaks, and that just makes his promos all the better. I was very entertained.
That moment where he told CM Punk, "You'll get canceled for that."
Yes.
It's like, damn, he's not wrong.
No.
Like, there's definitely, like, you could tell CM Punk is a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
And sorry, some things he says are just like, should you probably say that? No.
Yeah.
And Drew's gonna call him out in his face on it. But oh my God, Drew finally got his comeuppance though when he was doing that little rap to CM Punk and then got
Yes.
super kicked out of nowhere.
Yes. Oh my God, that was so good. And he
Where were
referenced, oh my God, I forgot what he referenced. Oh yeah, that was in the rap. That was it. He referenced Stan.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Drew deserves that title, and they better not pull bull crap and pull that title off of him right away.
I know. No, I'm with you. I think as much as Damian Priest needs to cash in, I think it should be a cash and lose situation. I find Damian Priest the least interesting member of the Judgment Day. You know how Kim says Courtney's the least interesting Kardashian, even though I disagree with that. Like Damian by far. Well, besides JD, it's a tie between Damian and JD. I just don't find him interesting. The most I've ever been interested in him was with the Bad Bunny stuff.
They should have pulled the trigger on that a lot quicker. And they didn't. But that's another full week of wrestling. A
Hell
lot of
yeah.
stuff.
Lots going on. So make sure you stick around with us next week. Obviously, we're probably going to be talking WrestleMania depending on the day that we record, but we'll figure that out another time. Just want to say thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Ruthless Obsession podcast. And make sure if you love our logo as much as we do, I'm obsessed with it. It's super clean and cute looking, might I add. Check out High Flyer Creative. They're the ones who made it, so snaps for them. If you want just as a badass logo as we have, definitely hit them up. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in to Ruthless Obsession. We are a part of the SPDM Podcast Network.
Thank you.